This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Noach, and of course we are introduced to Noach, who is the Ish, Tamim Ayah B'Dorosav. He was a person who was simple in his generation, and the Midrashim compare and contrast Noach's leadership with that of Moshe and Shmuel, and yet Rashi compares him to Avram Avinu. Why? Furthermore, according to Seder Olam Rabbah, Noach and Avram lived at the same time during Dor HaFlaga, which was the time that Avram Avinu was thrown into Kivshan HaEish. So what's the message of the comparison? So the great Rav Ari Khan of Eretz Yisrael suggested that perhaps the idea is that Rashi is trying to highlight the fact that Noach was on the sidelines watching Avram Avinu being thrown into the furnace, and he did nothing about it. This was Noach's hallmark. It also explains the Medrash comparing him to Moshe. The Arizal notes that Mecheni, as Moshe Rabbeinu argued, Mecheni na Misifracha and Mei Noach, are the same letters. While Moshe was prepared to sacrifice himself to the people, Noach was happy to get onto the Teva without fighting for the people. So suggests Rav Ari Khan in the name of the Arizal. So God speaks to Noach and he says, Ketz kol basar balafanai ki mala haaretz chamas mipneim, because the land became filled with thievery. And with all of the aviros that the people were doing, why is it that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Lo nechdam gizardinam ela al hagezel, that that would seal their fate was gezel, was theft? So Rabbi Bender, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Dachei Torah, noted that while there were other aviros, it was the one of gezel that displayed that there was something worse going on here. Then remember, that people would be able to steal less than a pruta. That displayed that there was a culture of gezel. Creating that culture makes people think that even the small things, like stealing less than a pruta, don't matter. And that leads to a culture of lawlessness and destruction of society as a whole. A person has a responsibility to understand that there needs to be lawfulness in a society if people are going to live together. And perhaps in modern times, that is one of the great challenges that we experience, even in countries that pride themselves on being lawful to their citizens. Sometimes you can be just so far off the reservation that compassion without any din is deafening. It's dangerous. We're told that Noach went into the Teva Mei HaMabul because of the waters of the Mabul. And Rashi says that Noach was Mikatnei Amana. He was one of those people who were of weak faith, right? Mamin Veino Mamin. And the Stipler, how is that possible to make sense? So the Stipler suggests that intellectually Noach knew that the Mabul was going to take place, but emotionally wasn't ready to accept that the world would be destroyed, and his emotions prevented him from getting on the Teva. And that we all encounter situations where we know intellectually the right thing to do, and yet our emotions get the better of us, and our job is to train our emotions to be in sync with our intellect. And that's one of the great lessons, I think, sometimes that happens to us as a whole. We're just so angry. We get so frustrated, we get so lost, so overwhelmed, that we don't allow ourselves to pay attention to the thoughts that are going on behind them. We're told Mipnei Mei HaMabul, and Rashi comments that Noach was Mikatnei Amana, as we said before. Perhaps a whole understanding needs to be identified here from a different perspective. After all, how could it be that somebody who goes against his whole generation and dedicates his whole life to building a teva, how could he be called Mikatnei Amana? I mean, the guy took 100 years of his life to be a pariah. So Rabbi Simon from YU quotes the Kedusha Salevi, who explains that this means that he had little faith in himself. He had emuna in Hashem, yeah, but he didn't think he could influence the rest of his generation. He didn't think that he could rebuild after the Mabul, and this paralyzed him every step of the way. And that's why he hesitated before he went into the Teva. After the flood, and after all the promises, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does make the declaration, as Kashti Nasati Be'anan, I went ahead and I put my rainbow in the cloud. And a person has to stop a moment and ask about that process of putting the rainbow. What is it about the rainbow? It's certainly not about frosted lucky charms. So why is the rainbow the sign from Hashem that he won't destroy his world again? So Chaim Amsalem suggests that the generation of the flood was destroyed because of Hamas, which means corruption. The disparate parts of the world could not and didn't function appropriately in society, and thus Hashem had no choice but to destroy the society in order to create a new one by being stuck on a teva together, which would need to function together and coexist. And the rainbow is a sign that disparate things, usually colors, can come together by reaching in disparate ways towards the sky, reach up, link up, and enlighten the world. Rav Aaron Tzal, Beitchik Tzal, once pointed out that we need to understand the depth of colors of the rainbow, and yet at the same time, they represent one aspect of the human being and his experience. Man, and particularly his soul, said Rav Aaron, is like a white light, and how he refracts that light and what he chooses to highlight as his primary colors helps him identify the stronger areas of his identity and personality. Very important ideas in life sometimes for us to consider. We find that when Noach was done with his episode in life, he was finished, and he took the Simla. He got drunk, and Shem and Yefes took the Simla. But when the Pasuk identifies it, it says, Vayikach, he took. And Rashi comments that Shem rushed ahead and showed more fortitude than Yefes. The problem is that we find that both of them did it. So why does Shem get more reward? So the late great Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel explained that one who shows more fortitude gets the mitzvah called on his name. The word lehisamitz, which Rashi uses, means to put in one complete effort. And that complete effort might differ from person to person. But still yet there's one thing that remains consistent, namely that one utilizes every moment towards spiritual growth and brings the people along with him. It's a very important trait. At the same time, Rashi, in interpreting Rashi, Shem got the schus of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the children of Yefes were zocha de kvura. And Rav Shechta used to always quote Rav Soloveitchik, who explained this idea that Shem was motivated by ethics, by doing the right thing, and Yefes was motivated by etiquette, which is doing the right thing in the eyes of other people. So tzitzis becomes a private mitzvah. In fact, the Magen Avraham writes that it should be specifically worn under one's clothing. But kvura, that's a mitzvah of kavod abrios, of etiquette. Each one, by the schus of the mitzvah, we see what each one was really trying to do and what motivated each one. And within the motivations, we understand the differences. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read, Ki yamenu smol tifrotzi, you'll burst out to the right and to the left. Rav David Feinstein Zatzal explained that because of the population will grow so rapidly, they'll need a broadening tent, alluding to a promise that made to Bnei Yisrael that they would spread like the dust of the earth. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us, even as we spread that tent, to remain true under the same top, the top that points to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the wisdom to always be focused on top, no matter which way we are staring at the rainbow. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Good Shabbos to all.